Well, now to the latest on emerging technologies and tech companies with This Week in Tech. Entrepreneur and technology author Steve Sammartino joined me this week in Melbourne to talk about digital wallets in India, biobeef in China, and the latest on the US investigation into that massive data breach at the credit company Equifax. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Now, we talked about the Equifax data breach last week. Today, the US Justice Department has confirmed that it's begun a criminal investigation into executives at the company who sold almost $2 million worth of stock before they revealed the data breach. How serious could this be for the company?
I think it could be quite serious. Equifax shares have actually tumbled 35% since the breach was disclosed on September 7. But one of the things that's interesting is that there isn't currently a legal set timeline for when companies have to inform customers or the market that they've been hacked. It's an unregulated area. So we have this interesting quandary where the information doesn't have to be disclosed to the market, but if that information is used for trading stocks, it has an impact. So I think this will be a really big issue for Equifax. We're talking about the Justice Department. We're talking about $2 million worth of trade. So it's going to be a very serious issue.
And there are also more than two dozen class actions brought against Equifax from customers affected by the data breach.
Yeah, so the number of class actions is absolutely significant. And we're going to see more of this situation. Customers are the victims of the breach. And the delay in when the information comes out really should have consumers concerned, especially given the frequency of these types of breaches that we're seeing in the marketplace.
And Steve, it's interesting, given the concerns over data breaches, that this doesn't seem to be deterring tech companies from moving into sectors of the economy where protection of our data is paramount, like banking. What is the latest move here?
The latest is that Alphabet, which is the Google parent company, they're launching a mobile wallet known as Tez. The system links accounts where it can do payments online, payments in stores, and interestingly, peer-to-peer payments. This is an interesting one because the physical wallet is clear that it's going to be replaced, and we pretty much have a digital equivalent for everything that lives in the wallet these days. We have banking, photos, identification, membership cards, and peer-to-peer payments, and that payment system is actually where digital supremacy with the digital wallet will be won and lost.
So what are the risks of the data in this digital wallet being breached?
If your wallet gets breached, then everything is included in the one place. So if it does get breached, then you've got all of that information in one place. It's like if you have one key, you get access to all of the doors. But I would be more confident with the tech companies like Google, Apple, and Facebook, who have a better reputation and understanding of the protections required for data moving into the finance arena than I am actually with traditional finance companies managing data.
You don't see them facing an Equifax-type data breach?
There's always potential for breaches because nothing is perfect in technology. But when it comes to those who play in the tech space, they tend to have a better reputation for not being breached than traditionally industrialized companies who've then moved to use technology as part of their infrastructure.
It's curious that Google is launching this wallet in India.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like we're seeing this game of industrial leapfrog where most of the innovation in traditional industrial areas like banking are happening in developing markets. What we have in the developed markets is dominant, established finance and banking firms. And quite frequently, they try and block the technology giants for good reason, because they're demarcating their businesses. But the innovation, it seems, is happening more in the developed markets where there isn't as much of a legacy infrastructure. And the unified payments interface that Google is linking up with is with several major banks. And it's actually backed by the government, because what they're trying to do is integrate their fragmented services. Interestingly, Tencent, which is the internet giant in China that we actually mentioned during last week's report, they launched their WeChat Pay in Europe earlier this year. Now, in China, they have 600 million active users using their phone to buy everything from noodles to coffee everywhere you go. And so that market as well is very advanced in the mobile payments using technology as a digital wallet. So it's not just India, it's China, and most of the developing markets really are moving forward into this financial technology area, more than markets such as ours where we have an established infrastructure.
Steve, the Chinese government's just signed a $300 million deal with an Israeli lab for what's known as bio meat. Should Australia's beef exporters be concerned?
The Chinese market has $17 billion worth of imports in meat and livestock. But this $300 million deal, it's actually pretty significant. Australia currently exports $600 million in beef to China. So it's not small. And it does seem like technology is impacting every single sector. Now, these three Israeli companies have some interesting names. Super Meat, Future Meat Technologies, and wait for it, Meat the Future. But it's been welcomed in China as something that is committing towards reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It's estimated that 14.5% of the planet's carbon emissions stem from keeping and eating of livestock, which is more actually than the transport sector. But $300 million, it's not a small amount, especially given that Australia's exports are only around the $600 million mark.
Steve, just finally, a particular crowdfunding campaign has caught your eye this week. Tell us about that.
Well, I happened upon an app-controlled paper plane. Now, what's interesting is that these guys put out a crowdfunding campaign and it raised $300,000 in a few short days.
For a paper plane?
For a paper plane. Now, it's not just the paper plane, I'll have to add. It's actually got some technology on top of it, which is a little propeller and some tiny technology which you slot inside what is a traditional-looking paper plane so that it can do tricks and controlled by your app. Now, just when you thought you could send your kids outside and say, no more screen time, go out in the backyard, have some fun, play with some paper planes, it turns out that they're going to be looking at the screen again.
Steve Sammartino, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's entrepreneur and technology author Steve Sammartino.